All right, hello
Blog
everyone.
Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Stacy Marshall from Flag Football America Network. I have a exciting guest who is just doing some fantastic events, leagues with flag football. So I'd like to introduce my guest. Austin, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, great, great, great. Austin, just I'd like you to introduce yourself and just tell us what organization you're with.
So my name is Austin Bradshaw. I'm the president of the North Shore Flag Football League. We started the games up in the league in 2004. In 2009, we went to a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and we've been running flag football in Massachusetts for boys and girls aged between 5 and 16 since that day up to today.
Okay, great, great, wow. And so you guys have a big tournament coming up. I see here you have the 10th Annual Football Festival Tournament. Can you tell my audience a little bit about that event?
Yeah, sure, I'd love to. We started, the first tournament was in Peabody, Mass. In 2015, so that was 1 year after the league started. We decided at the end of the season, let's do a tournament for all the teams. We ended up with 16 teams playing. We had a couple of teams from New York come in. And it was just a small affair, just getting things going, and that was a lot of fun. And that was a great time. You know, things didn't run as smooth as, you know, first time around a tournament. We got behind and et cetera, but, you know, you learn from it. And then the next year, we did the tournament again at the high school, and it got bigger. We got to 30 teams. And then the year after that, the third year, I think it was 2008, we couldn't get the high school field anymore. It wasn't available for us. It was a scheduling conflict. And then one of the coaches just said, hey, you ever tried Gillette Stadium? With a Patriots play, I'm like, you know what? Let's just try it. What if we got to lose? And we did, and we ended up getting it. So we played the tournament in Gillette Stadium it was amazing. It was on Father's Day. It was a fantastic experience. I still see dads now that talk about it, and it was such an awesome time. And, you know, teams come in from all over, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, started to grow now and get a bit of traction. And then the year after we're at Gillette, and then the year after that we're at Gillette, so up to 2010. And then after that, we didn't have the stadium available again, so we decided to go to Harvard Stadium, which is another well-known stadium, very historic. I think it's one of the oldest stadiums in the country. We had the tournament down there. Now we're up to, 70 teams. And then, so that was fun. And the year after that, we went to UConn Stadium in Connecticut, which is the first time we played out of state. And then we were up to, I want to say it was 86 teams. We played down there on the field. The field is so nice. It was like tough. People thought it was tough, but it was a grass field. But we had a blast. We had 5 teams from Mexico come in. And like I said, it kept rolling and rolling. And the year after that, we went back to Harvard. So by that point, it became a 2-day tournament because we had so many teams. So we did – the first day was like a round robin that we did in Peabody at a private high school. And then the second day was at Harvard, or it was at UConn. And then in 2014 – some of the coaches, the parents, were coming in and say, you know what, why don't we just do both days here at this high school in Peabody? It was called Bishop Fenwick High School, and we had 14 fields going at once, and it was just the logistics of playing one day somewhere and then the second day somewhere else, getting hotels, transportation, blah, blah, blah. And, you know what, it was a great atmosphere. We had the whole field place ourselves. We had music going, you know, everything that makes like a festival. You know, we had face painters and balloon artists and bouncy castles and all this stuff going on, and Patriots mascot. And then, so that was in 2014 and 2015, which is coming up this year. This is the 10th one. We're doing both days at Bishop Fenwick again, and we're already up to, we have 120 teams registered right now, and registration closes next week, so we're hoping to hit that, 130 mark. So we have a lot of local teams from our leagues that go on around this area, and then we have teams coming in town, out of state, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Florida, you know, and it's just the reputation. Year after year it grows, you know, I think we do a good job with it, and people keep coming back. Even if teams don't do well, they still keep coming back, which is the big thing that, you know, we're trying to do, make sure everyone has a good time. You know, whether you do well, whether you don't do well, you know, everyone leaves on a high note and they had a positive experience and they come back. And teams are coming back, and that's why it keeps growing the way it is.
Okay, cool. So, let me talk about this. I gotta ask you about this video. I'm looking at this YouTube video, man. It's just like 6 minutes and 32 seconds of just like the most amazing, like, I mean, the footage I see in this 6 minutes is, like, I'm just amazed by it. You gotta tell me about this video. Just give me some behind-the-scenes
on how this is done. Yeah, the video is really, really cool. We have a parent that owns a video producing company, and they do, you know, some big companies, big names, and his kid plays in the league, and he loves flag, and, you know, he's always at the games filming. He has the high-tech equipment, and then, you know, last year we're like, you know, we got to do something to show the parents and the kids what our league is about. You know, because you can tell people, you know, how it runs and that, but they got to see it. So we have our own highlight videos, but, you know, the amateur, I just have a friend that does the videos. But so this one, we were like, we're going all out, you know, so we paid some good money. They came down, a whole crew came down with a ton of cameras, and it was kind of it was at the tournament, and that's kind of like an end-of-season showpiece, you know what I mean? So, like, if new people are trying to think about joining or new leagues or new towns are thinking about coming on board, we invite them to this. So that's when we make the video. So we talk to coaches, we talk to parents, we got the kids involved, and we had the footage. We actually had over 30 minutes of footage. Like, it took us weeks to get down to that 6 minutes.
I bet.
Yeah, the interviews alone went on for 30 minutes. So they did a great job editing it, and it was a lot of work, but it was pretty cool. We actually have another one that's coming out soon. That's like the competitive side. That was like the introduction.
Wow.
You know, this
that was like
league.
The baby version, like the training wheel
exactly.
version.
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly.
Oh,
we have footage from. So we went to Nationals. We played in Cowboy Stadium. And we went to regionals in New Jersey, and we have that footage that they put in it. So that's like, you know, you can play flag, it's fun, but if you want to be competitive and take it a little more serious and bring in your all-star teams, like, that's what this is to show those people. It's not just, you know, little kids playing for the first time. Like, there's another level of flag, you know what I mean, nationwide, that it's competitive. Like, it is. You have some serious athletes and players in this league, and they go to regionals and nationals, and that's kind of like – the second part of the video we're trying to get out, so we're still working on that one now.
Wow, yeah, you need to. Everyone needs to check it out. I'm with Austin Bradshaw. He's from NorthShoreFlagFootball.com. You can also check out. I also go by NSFFL. Also, you can check them out on YouTube. You know, look up North Shore Flag Football League NSFFL, and you got to definitely check out the YouTube video. And again, I'm Stacey Marshall from the Flag Football America Network. And so, the reason why I do these interviews is one, I like to share the great things that you're doing so people get to see it. But the other thing is, I like to learn more about like the different men and women who do these leagues, because I feel like you're all very unique individuals. Can you give me an idea of like one, how you got in the flag, and sort of how do you get the time to do all this?
Yeah, it's funny actually, because I know my accent's gone a bit, but I'm from England. I've been in America 12 years. I married an American lady, but I went to high school and college in England, and I never even touched an American football until I was 19 years old. And then I went to college, and they said, "Hey, play American football." I'm like, "All right." So, you know, put the pads on, played tackle football for 5 years. I actually came to the States to I teamed up with a high school for like a 2 days in the summer. And they taught me how to play the quarterback position. So I just loved the sport straight away. That was it. You know, something new, but it was exciting. It was fun. You know, meet a ton of new people. So when I went back, I ended up playing quarterback at a University of Derby for 3 years. And like I said, had the time of my life. But towards the end, I was also playing flag. Like, we got just a bunch of guys. It's only 5-on-5. You only need 6-7 friends. And we went to a tournament in France. And we ended up winning the tournament. We had a blast. We had a great time. It was 120 teams. It was ridiculous. But we had, you know, we had such a good time. And then that's when I bumped into someone from America. And they're like, "Hey, we actually have a World Cup for this stuff. You know, we have countries, Venezuela, Mexico, you know, France, Germany, and the Canada, and they all come together and play. Like, we want you to come and play as Team England." So I was like, "All right." So, you know, we recruited some more guys. We had some tryouts, and I ended up being the captain of that team, and I was the quarterback of that team, and we traveled to the Bahamas, to the Dominican, to America, to France again many times, and we started this Team England Flag Football. So that was it. That was, you know, I was hooked. And then when I moved to America in 2013 to Massachusetts, I was teaching at the high school, and I was coaching Pop Warner, and there was no flag. There was no flag around, and I said, you know what? I'm going to start the flag football, the youth flag football. So I did the first season. We had four teams, 30 kids. It was great. It was fun. You know, I did everything. I ref the games. I, you know, the schedules, paint the field, coach the teams, did everything with those, those few teams, you know. And then I was like, that was fun, so we did it again. And then, you know, with 160 kids, then 360 kids, then 500 kids, then 600 kids. Like, every spring, every fall, it grew and it grew. And I was still teaching until 2009, and then the league was so big, like, I couldn't do both. I felt like I wasn't giving the flag football my all. I wasn't giving my teaching my all. So we made it into a nonprofit. So I get paid a salary, and you know, okay. I set up a little office. I was out of my house at first, and then I got a little office, and it just kept growing. And then we hired someone because it got too much for me. I was running six towns at one time in this area, and I was going to every field, doing every game. Like, I'd schedule it so it was a Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and it just got too crazy. And then, you know, wow. So we started hiring people, then we started bringing in league directors, and et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, I still play myself. You know, I love playing. We have an adult league, too, that we started about 3 years ago. So we have a winter league, a spring league, and I play in that just to play, you know, just to try and keep in shape, have fun, and you know, I just love doing it. Now my son he's eight. He's played like six, seven seasons now. He loves it, so I coach him, and it's just like a passion. So it's a job, but it's not a job. You know, it's stressful, sure. But it's so much fun. But that's kind of where it came from. You know, what you love doing, but then incorporating it into, you know, how to make a living through it, I guess.
Yeah. Wow.
So tell me about, like, all right, so. What's like a typical, okay, give me like a typical day. Like, so, okay, you got the festival, it's coming up. You said there's about overall, you're expecting 100 teams. So what's some of the preliminary work that you're doing now? And then just give me what that day's like. It's a one-day event. Or no, it's 2 days. It's Saturday and Sunday, correct?
Yeah. So our leagues are all finishing up now. So we start the spring in April. You know, I don't know if you guys heard, but we had like the worst winter ever in the history of 180 inches of snow. So we started late because we were under that snow. But so we run the whole spring season. We start planning for this tournament in like February, just getting the location down, you know, the timing, the scheduling, you know, the referees, that kind of stuff. And then we build up reaching out to teams and leagues and trying to get more people involved. And it's just ongoing, but like, it's been really cranking it up. Teams are registering. We're 120 teams right now, so I think we might get to that like 130 mark. But what it is, it's like, it, like you said, it's 2 days. You know, you get out there at, you know, 5 a.m. You start setting up. I mean, we have 16 fields going this time, which is, you know, it's quite a lot. So, you know, I got to paint the fields myself. Like, there's a turf field, but I don't. There's four fields, so I got to paint the rest. And then we set up the tent. We set up the registration. We set up the scoring tables, and then we have, you know, we sell like our apparel and stuff like that. So we try and get all that ready because coaches show up, you know, no lie, an hour and a half, 2 hours before. Even if we start at 9, they'll be there at 7, you know.
Right,
where do I check in?
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, hold on. You know, but, you know, they're into it. They're excited. They can't wait. And it's always a fun day. We always have great weather. I don't want to jinx myself right there. But then we have, you know, the Patriots mascot come down. We have some cheerleaders coming down. We have, like I said, you know, balloon out, just the stuff for the kids to do in between games. Because for the first day, they have three games. So we try and schedule a game, a game off, a game, a game off, a game. So they'll be there for like around 3 hours. But it's not back to back to back, you know. So they can enjoy the time there. They can watch other games. They can do some of the other activities we have, like, on location. And make a nice day out of it. And then at the end, you know, we work out the brackets and the seedings. And then we'll post all those. But the games are going from 9 a.m. I think last year we finished at 9 p.m. We had an 18U group, so we have the lights up, and they finish their games. And the next day is single elimination. So they know their brackets. And the thing I like about the tournament is, and we've learned this over the years, is we have all our grouping. So we'll have an A, B, C, and a D division. We won't call it that. We'll call it Elite, Pro, Open, whatever it is. So all the teams go 3-0 on day one, play other teams that went 3-0 on day one. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So it's not a one. We have 24 teams in an age group. We're not having a one versus a 24 because, you know, we did that way back when we were in Gillette Stadium. Team from Miami came. They ended up playing the local team. The game was over and not even, it was literally 5 minutes. You know, and these kids are in Gillette Stadium. You want to enjoy that experience, but if it's a blowout, team that's winning is not enjoying it, the team that's losing is not enjoying it. So we broke these groups down, so when they come back the second day, they're playing teams on their level. So they're all close games, do you know what I'm saying? So they come back, they're excited, they know they have a chance. Even if they went 0-3, they're in a whole group with all other 0-3 teams. So one of those teams comes out with a championship, and they get trophies if they get to the finals and get a championship. You know, we had last year, we had Christian Fourier come down. He played for tight end for the Patriots, and honestly, he's with the Chargers and maybe even the Seahawks. But anyway, his son is 12, so he's like, you know, I have my son's playing tackle. I want to bring his tackle team. Like, bring him down. Like, come down. So he came down. He had his team. They went 2-1 on the first day, and then we matched them up with the other 2-1 teams, and they ended up winning that B division, if you will. Do you know what I mean? But
sure.
His first time, he didn't even know. They thought they won the whole thing. You know, which is great, and we're not deceiving anyone. That's just the way it is. We have our different groups, you know, so you can go through and play some good games on the second day. So you can be there for one game and be done, or you can be there for as many as, you know, four games, you know, for the playoffs. So it's both days can be fun and exciting, and that's what we want to do. Like I said, people can leave on a positive note. They want to come back the next year, you know, and that's how we built up the tournament.
Yeah. Again, this is Stacy Marshall with Flag Football America Network. I am on the phone with Austin Bradshaw, president of North Shore Flag Football. They've got their yearly event festival coming up. Can you give my audience the dates of the event?
Yeah, absolutely. It's coming up quick. It is June 27th and 28th, Saturday, Sunday. It's the weekend before 4th of July weekend, so not this weekend, but the weekend after. It's 2 days. Everyone plays a minimum of 4 games. We wait till registration closes, which is the 19th. So I believe that's a week away. And then we'll start working on the schedule and finalize and send that out to the team. So they still have a week to register. We're here in Boston. It's not that far. You know, I mean, it's in the Northeast, and we even had teams come from the West Coast. You know, we have hotels set up, so we got good rates for people flying in. And, you know, we just try and make it as easy as possible for teams that are coming in.
That's great, man. It seems like you have a good working relationship with, like, the Patriots and the NFL. And so what's that like? You know, how has that relationship evolved over the years?
I mean, it is. It's tough, you know, especially when you deal with an organization like the Patriots or even the NFL, but because we've been doing it for so long, we've built up a good rapport. You know, we put out a good product. You know, we do things the right way and for the right reasons, and I think they see that, and they back us with that, you know, and they help us when they can, and, you know, they'll send us, you know, donations of, you know, autographed memorabilia that we'll raffle off or something, you know, to raise money for the kids, because we travel a lot too. We get a lot of tournaments. You know, went to Pennsylvania last month, Virginia before that. We're going to Syracuse next month. You know, so we just like to raise money to send the kids to those kind of tournaments. It's all about, you know, if you do the right thing and, you know, people see that, they're willing to help you. And, you know, and it's been working pretty good over the years. It takes a while to build up, don't get me wrong, you know, because there's tons of leagues out there. And some of them are run well and some of them are not. So, I you know, they get requests all the time to use the field and things like that. So I know how difficult it is from their point of view. You know, we're just trying to do our thing, and if they can help us along the way, then that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you're expecting maybe, you said, about 120 teams this year for the football festival?
Yeah, well, we have 120 right now. So
okay.
Maybe, I mean, we had 112 last year. So if we get, I'm expecting around 130, and that's in every age group from, so we go every 2 years. So we have 6U, 8U, 10U, 12, 14, 16, and we even have 18. And then for the girls, just girls, you know, not co-ed. I mean, the tournament is co-ed, but we have a girls division also, and we have teams in the 10U, 12U, 14U, and 16U. So between all those groups, we're 120 teams. The biggest group you always find is the U10, so 10 and under kids, and the U8. They're usually the where we get the most teams. I mean, right now we have 28 teams in the U10. I'm trying to get to 32, and then
okay.
cut it off, because that makes it good for scheduling.
Good bracket.
Blackton.
Right.
Yeah. So we can have four groups of eight, which is perfect. So it doesn't always work out like that, but, you know, whatever happens, we always make it work. But if we could get right there, that'd be perfect.
So do some of the male teams that, let's say, they don't have, like, enough teams for girls, I assume they could have co-ed, like, they can have girls on their team, or are there rules as far as, like, co-ed, all male, things like that? What's the structure for that?
No, for us, I know for NFL Flag, when they have their regionals, it's, you know, they have the boys and the girls division. But we do have co-ed. So, and there's some amazing girl athletes. Let me tell you, like, around that 8 to 12 group, the girls are right there with the boys. You know, we have all-star teams with girls on them, because it's non-contact and it's all speed. You know, and we have some fast girls. I'm not kidding. We have some seriously awesome girl athletes. And I actually coach the U14 girls team. I've done for years, and we have a blast. I'm telling you, like, the girls, they listen, right? I coach 14-year-old girls. They listen. They're great to coach. 14-year-old boys. They think they know it all. You know what I mean? I call it all
plays.
I'm like, all right, but the girls are so fun to coach. We're playing right now in an all boys league with my girls team. We're actually in the championships this Sunday. We won a game last week on the last play of the game. It was so exciting. The parents are so into it because, you know, it's the girls, but, you know, it's Flag. If you know what you're doing, you can do well. So we're in the championships this Sunday. We're so excited. So I love coaching the girls, but that's definitely growing. You know, every year we have more girls playing, whether it is an all-girls team or whether it is co-ed. So they can do both. So they have a lot of options. And a lot of them prefer to play against the boys. They like beating the boys, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, we can play football too, and I think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's it. That is, yes. I think that, you know, it's one of those sports where, once you, like, get to that age group, they're right there. They can compete.
Absolutely.
And I think
that's
what's great about the sport. I just have found so many different types of people can play it. It's really just sort of like limitless on, you know, the ages and the different variations of the leagues that can play the sport.
Right. You know what I like about it, Stacey, is it doesn't matter where you come from or your background. It doesn't matter because it's the same game. Like, we're here in Massachusetts. We have 15 leagues going in this area, and we're in some very, you know, affluent areas, and we're in some not so much. Do you know what I mean? But it's the same game. And we have another tournament at the end of the season. It's called the Tournament Champion. So what we do is we bring the champions from each league. They're not all-star teams. They're regular town leagues. And they come and they play together against each other. And I'm telling you, it is awesome. It is awesome to see these kids interact from all kinds of situations, backgrounds, upbringing. But when they get on the field, it's just a game, right? So it's just awesome. We had a team come from the Bronx. There was seven, I'm not lying, there was seven kids in a car. They all stayed in the same hotel. The same hotel room, because they wanted to play in the tournament so bad, you know. And they ended up winning. That was when we went to UConn, you know, because that's just they love playing and they just want to be part of it. And whatever it takes, they'll do it. You know what I mean? And that's the stuff that, you know, that gets me, that I love about the sport. You know, it's just a game, and it doesn't matter. Everyone's playing the same game, same rules. You know what I'm saying? So it's pretty cool.
No, and you touched on a great point that what I've learned too is, like, I know it's just football, but it really expands to, like, real life. Like, it really touches on social, economical, you know. I mean, it touches on so many aspects of life. When you just try to – just what it takes for everyone to get to that field, there's so many different stories and backgrounds that people have that kind of lead them to that one place. I mean, I know all sports are like that, but I've definitely seen it with Flag, you know.
Well, Flag is like, you know – I'm from England, soccer. What do you need? You need a ball, right? That's all you need, and that's why so many people play. And third world countries, you know, all over. But Flag, you just need flags and a ball. It's the same thing. It's not an expensive sport. Like, anyone can pick it up. You know what I mean? So that's why you see all these different you know, like you said, social economic groups and all kinds of demographics coming together on the same field playing the game. It's so fun to watch.
Yeah, great, great. Again, this is Stacy Marshall, Flag Football America Network. I'm on the phone with Austin Bradshaw, president of the North Shore Flag Football League. He's here promoting the 10th annual football festival tournament. It's going to be at Bishop Fenwick High School. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right, in Peabody.
Yep. And it's going to be Saturday, June 27th, and Sunday, June 28th. So what's your angle? You're doing this now, like, seems like full time. So what's like your vision moving forward? I mean, I don't know how many more hours in a day you have to do, but when you sit down at the end of the year, or what's your goals for next year? I mean, how big do you see this getting for you?
Well, it's funny, 'cause I mean, I never stop. So, I mean, I think about it, but I don't. Because it started off as a hobby, and then it became this. Like, I'm not a business mogul or an entrepreneur or any of that stuff. It's just, I love what I do, but I always want to do more. I always want to make it better. You know what I mean? So I'm not, like, going out trying to recruit new towns and stuff, but it's got to the point where people are coming to us. Hey, can you run a league in our town? Can you run a league in our town? We're like, yeah, we'll do it. And it is growing and growing. I know there's other leagues out there. Like, there's a league that's starting up now called the National Flag League. I'm sure you've heard of these guys. They started in Michigan, but now they're in Florida and Colorado and Indiana. And I don't know if we're going to get to that point, but, I mean, you could. Do you know what I mean? I mean,
sure.
It's the possibilities, I guess, they're endless. I mean, if you do a good job, you put a good product, and the parents like it, and the kids like it, it's like, why not? So I just – we go spring, we go fall, and we go winter. It's like, really, the only time I have to stop and think, really, is July. You know,
yeah.
I'm actually going back to – England this summer with my son. I haven't been for a couple of years, so I told my parents, like, I'm coming home, so just enjoy that little bit of downtime. But I know as soon as we get back, it's gonna ramp up again. So I don't know what's gonna happen. I mean, we'll just go with it. You know what I mean? I'm still pretty young, so, but I love doing this. You know, and I don't see myself doing anything else right now. So why not just go with it? You know.
No, man, and your enthusiasm, your passion for the sport, man, it's refreshing. It comes through in everything you do. And, again, from everything I've seen, from your website to your Facebook, talking to you, the video, just, you know, really professional. That's really professional and really thought out. That's sort of like my impressions of what you're doing, and I'm just really impressed.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Like, it's a lot of work. Like, I can't lie. It's very stressful. You have a lot of sleepless nights. We have two secretaries in the office now. They'll be crying at some point in the season because some parents or coaches are yelling at them, like, the kid didn't get on the team, or, you know, the referee didn't make a call, and it's so stressful. But you got to remember, like, that passes, you know what I mean? And it happens every season.
Sure.
And you just deal with it. And, you know, like you said, you be professional, and, you know, you don't take it personal, and you move on. And every year our league has grown, so I know we're doing the right thing, and we get way more compliments than we do negative. So I know, you know, we're doing the right thing, but we just keep working on it, man. Like I said, it's hard, and we've come from nothing. We've built it from nothing, and it's just, you just want to keep doing it and keep working and just keep getting better, like, every season, and you know, add new things. Like, we added stats for the we started a competitive league because, you know, you see some teams and towns kind of taking over, so we started a separate league, and now we have, it's almost like a tournament every week. We have teams coming from all over to this one league, and we do stats, and we do names on the shirts and shorts and socks, and it's like this whole thing, and it's awesome, you know what I mean? It just, and that's another thing, and it's like, you know, what's next? I don't know, but we just keep working at it, and you see leagues start up, and you see leagues fail, and you see other leagues do well, and it's like, you know, why do they do well and why do they not? And it's if you love doing it, it's like anything in life, right? If you love doing it, it's almost like you're going to want it to be successful. You know what I mean? It's like money's never been the motivator, you know, not from the start. And it still isn't even now, you know. We've been through a lot of stuff, me and my wife. I'm not even lying. She'll tell you, too, you know, the things we've been through with this league, you know, because it consumes you, it really does. But if you love it and it's your passion, then it's worth it. You know what I mean? It's worth it. And, you know, that's why I just say, you know, we just keep working at it and keep going, and who knows you know, what it'll turn into. But this is me for now. So I can't complain.
Hey, awesome. Hey, we're good. I just recorded it. That was 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes, that was perfect. That's perfect. That was perfect.
All right.
That was perfect.
All right,
nice. So I got 30 minutes. It's perfect.
Wow.
What I do is I put a little intro on the front. I put a little thing on the back, and it's ready to go.
Sweet. That's awesome, Stacey. I really appreciate it. I don't even know, you know, what to say. That's really cool. I reaching out to me, I appreciate it.
No. And I'm definitely, like I said, what I'll do is I'm going to promote it on my website, and I do it on Blog Talk, but I end up putting it on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
So once it's up there, you can download it and do whatever you want with it. You know, if you want to send it out to different people or whatever. But no, I'm definitely paying attention because, like, I'm starting like a flag league down here, and I don't know what I'm doing, man. I'm starting from scratch.
Right.
Like,
that's
I'm
the best way, though, because
like,
you know,
ground zero, man.
That's the best way because you only learn from your mistakes. You know, you're starting from. That's the best way to do it. You know,
what's your biggest advice with the kids? How do you do the coaching? Like my thought was to do like I'm a busy, like I'm working a full time job. So my thing with the coaching, like I get nervous when I'm like, hey, let's get these parents and give them flags. Now the league that my daughter's in, they've been doing it 20 years. They're like a well-oiled machine. Like, I think they meet with the coaches, and they're very – but I'm starting from scratch. So I'm almost feeling like, hey, we'll do, like, practice for an hour with all the teams so I can see them, and then we'll play the games right after. That's my thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do now is, you know, and that's what NFL Flag recommends, and that's why the parents like it because it's low commitment.
Okay.
And, you know, games, for example, Friday nights at 6, you show up at 5, you practice, and then you play your game, and then you're done. You know what I mean? And then if coach says, hey, we want a midweek practice, say, have at it, you know, go for it, you know. But you got to keep it, like, light. And the thing I found, it's tough to say, but you don't want football coaches. You don't want Pop Warner tackle because it's so different. Like, it's a totally different animal. And they come in with that Pop Warner, you know, mentality and attitude and start yelling and, you know, do laps. And like, fuck that. It's like football. You know, they just want to show up playing and have fun. So you just get dads in to help, even if they don't know football, you know, just to help out and coach and make sure they substitute the kids and everyone gets to play. It doesn't matter if you know X's and O's. You know what I mean? It's almost like you don't want those people, you know. If you can get a good mix, but – So you open your registrations and then you attach to it, you know, click here to volunteer to vote to coach, you know, because every year, even now, we still struggle for coaches. You know, I know some leagues do discounts and some leagues do all kinds of incentives. But, I mean, we do T-shirts for all our coaches. So they all, you know, we have credentials. So we know they're a coach and on the field. And you have to do background checks. It's free in Massachusetts. If you're an organization, but I know they do charge, so you might want to look into that.
Wait, say that one more time. Look into what?
So you don't want any friggin' sex offenders coaching the kids. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh no. So absolutely, everyone's got to do yes. Everyone's got to do the background check.
You got to do your background check.
Yeah.
Some companies charge. The ones we use doesn't, but it's the state of Massachusetts. I don't know how it is in Pennsylvania. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. No, we have like standard ones that like. You're right. There's like some you pay for, some you don't. But I think it's like criminal background and then like child offending one that you do.
Yes. So you do that. But I mean, go on.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm listening.
No, I was just saying. So like, I mean, we have 550s this season. We're probably missing like maybe 10 at the start of the season. Do you know what I mean? So what you do is so you'll have that list in your database. First, we'll send an email to the team and say, hey, thanks for signing up, blah, blah, blah. We don't have them to coach this team right now. Can you do it? And then maybe by the time we start, you know, the worst case, and it happens is you get to the field and like, hey, no one called and say, no one offered to coach the team, but we need a coach. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, apparently go, I'll just do it. And then they'll do it. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, hopefully you don't want to get to that last minute thing, but, you know, I've never.
Yeah.
Once in 11 years, in three seasons a year, I had a team that went without a coach, and just different parents helped out. But that's one out of thousands of teams. Do you know what I mean? Because the parents, they'll do it. They'll step up. You know, it's like they'll do it. You know.
Here's a dumb question. Playbook.
Yeah.
Like, I swear, I know football. I love flag football. When it's time to come with these playbooks, I swear these plays seem simple to me. But when I'm dealing with, like, the 7-8-year-old, I feel like, so do you, like, you just let the parent, like, it seems organized where the one my daughter's in. Like, the coaches all seem like they know. Do you give them all a standard playbook? Do you give them a resource book? What do you leave it up
to
themselves?
No, I do. I mean, you can Google 5-on-5 flag plays and get a bunch.
Sure.
But I bought this thing. It was $20. It's called Mr. G's Playbook, right?
Okay,
and
Mr. Dr. Z's?
Dr. G, whatever. I can't even remember what it is. I think it's
Okay, I think that's the one. Dr.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dr. G, maybe. Yeah, you might be right. They send you the PDF. So I send that out to every coach. I'm like, and they have drills, they have defensive zones, and there's literally 280 players. But what I say to the coaches is like, if you want something, this is good. But for 6 and under and 8 and under, you don't even come on. It's you got to keep it simple, right? You got to keep it simple because you don't want to confuse the kid. And if you keep kids together for a while, then fine, you know, do that. But like, I've been coaching 8 seasons, and I still don't use it. I have plays in my head, and we just run those plays. But it's not like, because it's, the kids are not ready for that yet. The 10U, yeah, sure. You know, you can do routes and you know, zone defense and stuff like that. But for the 8U, just hand the ball off and watch the kid run. I tell this we do have a coaches meeting before the season. So we'll get the coaches together, and we'll go over, like, what we're trying to do, and, you know, don't take it too serious and blah, blah, blah. And we'll say, like, I remember these two coaches, Stacey, arguing on the field, 6U, mm-hmm. on the same team, arguing with each other. They were losing 30-0. This is when we used to keep score for 6U. We don't keep score for 6U anymore because it was too much pressure. Like, the coaches were trying to win, so that, you know, the whole shit. So we just, it was 30-0. The coaches were arguing with each other. I was stood right there. The kid hiked the ball, handed it off. The kid ran and scored a touchdown. And they looked at each other. I go, did you see that? I go, you didn't even tell them a play, and they just scored. You've been trying to tell them a play for 40 minutes, and they didn't do nothing. And they just, the kid, the 6-year-old, hiked it to the 5-year-old, and they scored a touchdown. That's all you got. You know, don't get too complicated. Don't try and, if you see the kid's face, you see the coach, they'll be in the huddle for 3 minutes. And then they won't even hand it off. They won't even, I'm like, don't waste your time. Hand it off to this kid. That's it. Don't try to overcomplicate it, thinking, you know, you got to outsmart the other coach and all that stupid shit. At tournaments, absolutely, you know, go for it, but not in the league. Just let the kids play and have, you know, have fun, and then go from there. And you'll find which kids are, you know, they get it, and which kids are a little bit more advanced, you know, and work, you know, just work with all the kids. That's all.
Okay, cool. All right, awesome. That's perfect. Yeah. Thanks for that advice, because my brother's the worst one, because when we do this clinic – like, he's always trying to get them to pass and do patterns. I'm like, dude, they're 6. You give them the ball and let them run, for crying out loud. Nobody wants to watch the kids not know how to pass, and then they don't know how to catch. And it's not their fault. They're 6. They're 7.
Sure.
Just let them run. Let them touch the ball. Let them be a QB. Let them be a center. And the rest of when they get older, you can work the patterns. I tell him he wants to be Bear Bryant out there, you know. Chip Kelly running some spread offense.
Right.
I'm like, dude, just hand the ball off. He's like, but that's not good. I'm like, no, that's perfect. That's what I want. They just want the ball in their hand. Let them run.
That's it. Just let them have fun and run around. I'm like, if it's a pass, I go, hey, 3 steps, turn around, throw the ball. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I do. And because in NFL flag, you do have to throw the ball when you're within 5 yards of halfway or 5 yards of the end zone.
That's
you have to pass it. Right. So I tell them, you know, run 3 yards and turn around. And then, you know, we have one kid that's good. So I'm like, hey, you go deep. You know what I mean? Just in case. But that's it. Like, you run 95% of the time. You know what I mean? We only throw when we have to, or if we're down a lot, or if we're up a lot. We don't throw any other time. You know what I mean? You do it in practice, sure. You know, get the kids to throw and practice and get better. But when it comes to the game, like, it stops the game and slows it down almost with that age group. You know what I mean? Just with that age group.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah, man.
Hey, man, appreciate your time. I know it's late. Thank you so much. I'm going to get this put together tomorrow. So I'll definitely have it. At the latest, I'll have it online by Monday, but I'm shooting for Sunday. I know it'll be a little hectic with me tomorrow because I'm finishing up as well. But I appreciate your time. And Once the event gets closer, I'll do all that I can to sort of promote it and just get your name out. I mean, you're doing an amazing job. It's not like you need that, but
no, I'd appreciate that because you never know who's on there and who's locked in. And we, you know, one team is a bonus. You know what I mean? One team that wouldn't have had before. Like we got a team today, a league today. They want to enter eight teams. You know, they're like, okay, hey, can you do us a deal if we do 18? Like, of course I can. And I don't know where they found out about this, you know. So who knows? You got to put it everywhere. Like, I spend, like, hours and hours now just emailing and going on Facebook and searching flag football and, you know, searching youth flag football. And you know, most of them are, oh, we can't do it or we're not available, whatever. But you just get one or two that can, then, because they come back. See, we haven't had a team that's come and said, fuck this, we're not coming back, it sucks. We've never had that. You know what I mean? So we're just trying to get new teams all the time. You know?
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And I'll drop some, like, I got these little scorebooks that I've got. I'll send you, like, a sample book of that I've got, but then I'll just send you, like, these little double-sided sheets. I want to get your feedback on it and just see what you think of it. That'd be awesome.
No, I'd love to take a look. Yeah, because we just have pieces of paper that we write up, you know, it just says, you know, home, away, you know, just basic stuff that I made up on words, you know, that's it, but
what I'll do is I'll send you, like, a couple of just, like, the books that I've got, but then I'll send you, like, these little double-sided sheets where it'll say, like, Flag Football America on one side, but there'll be, like, a sample sheet. Just so, like, and they'll be just double-sided copies so that they can just take it and they can take as many as they want and just test it out. And I swear, any feedback will be good, like, hey, this sucks, rework it, or, oh, that's not bad, I kind of like it, you know. I'm trying to get it out there just to get that feedback from the actual players.
Yeah, no, it's good to have it just because, you know how it is, like, coaches, like, oh, no, it wasn't 18-17, it was 21-17, whatever. But what we do is we have them sign it, you know, at the end of the game, and some don't want to because they're pissed off, but we have both coaches sign it, so they agreed that this is the score, because in a tournament, it's important. Like in a league, you can go back and check with the ref, check with the coach, and try and get the right score. But in a tournament, you need that score like within half an hour, because, you know, you got to do the seedings, and so we make them sign off on it, and it's just huge having that piece of paper. But if we get it, I'd love to take a look, you know, and see how we can make it work.
Oh, that'd be good. Okay, I'll drop that in the mail Monday. And then I'll get the rest of the copy. Because I know I have a little time, but I know the tournament's going to be here before I know it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling my wife, it's funny, I met my wife playing flag football, and she came out, tried it. I was a ref. She, like, yelled at me. I was like, who's this woman yelling at me, man? But I remember when she first came out, she knew nothing about the game. In fact, I was thinking in my head, she's too pretty to play flag football. She ain't going to last a week.
Right?
So she didn't come back for a while, and then she came back, so I'm going to get this. So then I knew she started to get the game because she started getting pissed at bad calls. So then me and my twin brother, she yelled at, he refs the game. I was sitting on the sideline. Like you just said, I'm not even involved.
Right.
So she comes back. She curses me out. I'm like, man. So then this guy I knew in the league, he tried to set me up with her. I was like, dude, no way.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going out. He's crazy. She hates me. So long story short, we go out, we get married. And so she actually plays with me in a whole bunch of leagues. So I was telling her, and she went, she was the only one I could get to go out with me to the tournament up there in Boston. So that was like our first, like, getting away together kind of thing. Like, we had only been going out a couple of weeks. So I was telling her about what you had told me about the tournament and stuff. She was like, no way, okay, now that makes sense, you know, just about, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff. So she's actually on a conference this weekend, but she got a kick out of it.
Oh, that's funny. You know, it's funny because fucking Jim Zamolka introduced me to my wife. Because I came over here just to work with him. He's like, I'm like, tell a lie. I was in Pennsylvania at the Poconos. At a summer camp. We came every year. I was at university. We'd come and work here for the summer. So you'd work for 2 months, you know, with the kids, like a summer camp. You know, you'd ball and we did flag football and a bunch of stuff. And then for 2 months after that, you could travel. So we went.
Okay.
1 year we went to Canada. 1 year we came to Boston. 1 year we went to New Orleans. And then 1 year, like, everyone was going. Jim's like, come work for me for a couple of months. Like, all right. So I went. I got there, like, friggin' 7 in the morning. He's like, hey, we got to go. I go, why? He goes, you're refereeing. I never refereed in my life. He goes, You're right. And that was when my accent was strong. Like, I got down that field, I got ripped apart so bad. I didn't know. I was like, this sucks. Don't ever ask me to do this again. Because I got eaten alive. I'm not even kidding. One time it was down in